All right, Senator Tomassoni, are you ready? Started. The Senate Judiciary Finance Division is now in order. We're going to take up the bonding bill agenda before us. First item will be Senator Tomassoni, Senate File 1380.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members, for accommodating us this evening. And
Thank you for your patience.
Well, I got quite a few emails done, Mr. Chairman, so that worked out okay, I guess. I went from about 230 down to about 70, so we're doing okay. So, Mr. Chairman and committee members, Senate File 1380 is a bonding request for $3 million for the Northeast Regional Corrections Center, affectionately referred to as NERC. And this is for asset preservation and improvements of the facility. It's a corrections facility, and it's very, very good at rehabilitating people and putting them back into society with a low recidivism rate. But the facility's been around for quite a while, and it needs some upgrades. Last year, we started some of the upgrades with a $750,000 bond to help with some of the, I believe it was the heating system. And you can see from some of the pictures some of the needs that are here. This particular bill will take us to the next step and get the whole facility moving in the right direction. And I have with me some people who have come a real long way and have been here all day, and so I'll let them take over from here. Okay.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Kay Arla, and I'm the director of Arrowhead Regional Corrections. And I have County Commissioner Wade Pavlik from Coochaching County here, who is also the chair of the Arrowhead Regional Corrections Board. I'd like to start by thanking Senator Tomassoni for introducing this bill and supporting our project, and also thank you, Mr. Chair, and this committee for giving us this opportunity to talk about it. I know it's late. I want to be respectful of your time, but I did think that maybe we would talk a little bit about who we are, how we came to be there, and then get into the project. Arrowhead Regional Corrections is a joint powers agency that was formed in 1976 under the Community Corrections Act, so we are a CCA agency. And that joint powers agreement is between the five counties that make up the Arrowhead region. Those counties are Carleton County, Cook County, Lake County, Coochaching County, and St. Louis County. Those counties have formed the ARC agency, and we deliver all of the correctional services within that huge geographic region. So we provide all of the probation and parole supervision in the communities. We operate and own the Arrowhead Juvenile Detention Facility, and our third department is the Northeast Regional Correction Center, or NERC. NERC is a 150-bed correctional facility for adult men. It is located about 15 miles north of Duluth in Saginaw, Minnesota, and it is a very unique facility. It is housed on 3,200 acres, which we actually farm. We operate a working farm there. So you will find at NERC all of the traditional correctional programming. We have an education program where the men can get their GED or their high school diploma. We have chemical dependency treatment. We have mental health services. We have medical services. But in addition, the men who serve their time at NERC are also assigned to a work crew. Some of them work in our kitchen. Some of them do the grounds maintenance or the building maintenance. And many of them work on the crews that operate and run the farm. So the farm produces hay and barley, which we sell, and we use that to offset some of our operating expenses. We grow all kinds of vegetables, carrots, potatoes, corn, pumpkins. We raise chickens, turkeys, and pigs. We have an operating slaughterhouse, which is also one of the work crew sites for the men. And all of the meat and produce is then used in our kitchen to feed the men and offset our food expenses. It's an interesting concept, the work crew concept and the correctional setting. And as Senator Tomassoni mentioned, it is one that is very effective. We have looked at our recidivism rate, and for the general population of men that leave NERC, about 83% do not commit new felonies for 3 years from the time they're discharged. That's about 20% better than the average statewide population of incarcerated men. So we are a program that works. The problem at NERC is the building. The main building, which houses the men and houses the programming and the food service, was built in the 1930s. I want to assure you that the architects and experts tell me that it is structurally sound. It is a very well-built building. The problem is really with the infrastructure and the mechanical systems. They are beyond life expectancy and in dire need of repair. So the proposal is actually a $6 million project, and you'll see that on the second page of the handout. We are asking the state to partner with us for $3 million, and you probably have noted that we are in the government's the governor's proposal for a $2 million. There's nothing fancy about the infrastructure improvements. It's pretty basic, some energy efficiencies in lighting and new windows and insulation, plumbing, heating, and electrical. This is phase two of the project. As Senator Tomasoni noted, we did start last year with phase one and have replaced the antiquated boiler systems, and that project should be completed in the next couple of months.
Mr. Earl, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. First, to note that we have a quorum present. Secondly, you can identify where the handout is that you're referring to.
Got one like that.
We'll hand it out now.
I'm sorry. I know that you are being asked by many different entities to look at funding important projects around the state. So I did want to say that the significance about this project is that this is truly a regional project. These 150 beds are used by all five counties, and our board, which is made up of county commissioners from each of those five counties, have endorsed the request to be here today and asked us of the state, saying this is a priority for them. We serve a critical need in the Arrowhead region. For whatever reason, two of our counties, Carleton and St. Louis County, are experiencing jail crowding issues. So you may know that typically around the state there are empty jail beds at the county level, and many counties are having to close wings of their jails. That is not true in our region. These 150 beds are needed and an important part of our overall resources for criminal justice in the area. So in addition to that, I would like to emphasize that when a program and a facility like NERC operates and operates well, we actually save the state money. So I think there is an investment here for the state. When the men get what they need and we do good work, these are men who do not end up in more expensive prison beds. So I think an investment by the state also makes sense. I believe that Commissioner Pavlik is going to talk a little bit about the stress that has been put on the counties to continue to fund corrections and the formula that's been used.
Welcome, Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you, and I too appreciate you seeing us tonight. And I know you're busy. I'm going to be brief because you do have a lot to go on. I'm not Kevin Gray, by the way. He tried to come down here but made it as far as Moose Lake and pulled into a motel. But we drove down from International Falls. You know those guys from Duluth?
A former transportation guy that can't drive in the snow. Think about that.
Anyway, we wanted him safe. You know, I just want to point out, and I'm sure some of the members here remember, when the Community Corrections Act was implemented, and it was a partnership. Oh, I'm sorry, Wade Pavlik. I'm sorry, I forgot to say my name. But when the Community Corrections Act was implemented, it was an equal partnership. And if you look on your sheet, you know, I've been there 20 years, and there's been a slow decline in the state participation. State is now down to approximately 27%. We've picked up those costs with levy dollars from our counties. We haven't complained. We know that the state has issues and shortfalls too, so we've made that up. But when it comes to this particular project, we need your help here, or we're not going to be able to do it. We're certainly going to be contributing a large amount ourselves from the counties, but the reason we're here, and before we go any further, we thought we better see if the state would be willing to participate, and that's the reason we're here tonight. The director touched on the fact that by keeping these people in our facilities, it's not only the recidivism, which is the best in the state, but it's also saving the state money because we're keeping them out of the state prisons. And it's a model that is unique in the state. It's actually a model that's fairly unique in the nation. And it's gotten a lot of recognition for the way we do things there. And the work farm concept with 3,200 acres is definitely something you don't see a lot. So for us to complete this project, we're going to need the state as a partner. And, you know, with that, we will certainly stand for questions. And again, I thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. Help me understand this. You're saying that you keep folks out of the state facilities. So this is different than, say, the Hennepin County Workhouse in the sense that you're functioning like a state prison, but you're being run by the counties?
No, these are local commits. These are men who are not yet being sent to the prison, so they're serving what's called local time of up to a year. The savings to the state is if we deal with them, if we give them what they need and keep them from committing future offenses, then they don't end up recidivating and ending up in the prison system. Okay. So the better work we can do and having this facility open and running, in the end, the state benefits from that also.
Okay, I got you. And up until now, it's been the partner counties that have borne all the costs relating to this facility?
With the exception of the $737,000 in last year's bonding that we received from the state to do the replace the boiler system.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair, I know that the Hennepin County Workhouse used to be a work farm back in the 1920s, and it was a big WPA project by building the cell blocks. And the use of it as a work farm, I used to work there, and so
I
was.
It's always someone.
More importantly, yeah. What kind of work?
It wasn't in the 1930s, okay. The recidivism rate was low at that time too, and I think the role of just hard, and it's not hard labor, it's just good, solid, honest work that kind of brings a person around at times just for the sake of doing that. Quite often they come from broken homes or unfortunate circumstances, and not to get too mopey about that, but they see a different value to their life once they do some work. And we considered this in the last few years, and I think it's the aspect about this is what I like is that it's a shared joint power type thing where other counties can use it. It takes the pressure off of individual counties that, for the most part, have limited resources in the greater region. And since this is already here, there is one question I do have is, are the buildings so far gone that it might be better just to build new rather than patch them up every year? And is that what we're doing, or is there more of a substance to the buildings than what I think?
Commissioner Pat.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. You know, we did look at that or consider that. But the building itself, and you mentioned WPA, the block that dedicated the building is 1938, so it was probably done in the same manner. But it is well constructed. Structurally, it is sound. Yeah. These pictures don't do it justice that you have in your packet. It looks much worse than what you're seeing there. It's plastic on the windows. The bathroom scene you see here, actually the pipes broke within the cement and were leaking on the dormitory below it. I mean, it's at the end of its lifespan internally, but we're very confident that we can remodel and try. We're very frugal, put it that way, and that's how we've operated over the years, and we're confident that we can remodel it. It would be the best price for the dollar, and the structure itself, again, is sound.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, my question is similar in nature. Are any of these repairs that are on this list urgent in nature that you can't wait for bonding? Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee. We are being told that the infrastructure and mechanical systems are beyond life expectancy. So we are concerned about system failure. An example is that during the installation of the new boilers, the contractor plugged in a piece of equipment and started an electrical fire in the building. That has really moved us along in saying we have some urgency in making these repairs and getting this done, and sooner than later.
Mr. Chair, follow-up. Senator Ortman. Which of these items would be affected by that if it didn't make it into a bonding bill this year? Maybe you would have to make changes, and how would they be paid for if not approved in a bonding bill?
Mr. Chair and committee members, we would have to discuss that at the board level and have that conversation about prioritizing the projects and finding funding or waiting until the next bonding cycle.
Thank you.
Authority from other surrounding towns or jurisdictions.
All right, I don't see any further questions from the members of the committee, so thank you for your presentation. Thank you for driving down. I hope you will stay the night in the metro area instead of trying to drive back tonight.
We certainly are. So
you thanks. Are? I figured for sure the International Falls guy was going home. But
my wife will never.
Thank you all very
Thank
much.
You,
I appreciate
right.
it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee. I have the pleasure of introducing Senate File 593. It's a pretty straightforward bill, one I think that you've seen in the past. 593 would request $5 million in bonding funds, $5.4 million in bonding funds to build a fence around the Shakopee Women's Prison. This is a facility that does not have a fence or any sort of perimeter security other than the good work of the guards. And this is certainly a bill directly to public safety to prevent a problem before it occurs. I have Commissioner Tom Roy, Deputy Commissioner Terry Carlson, and Warden Tracy Belts that will testify in more detail about the need.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you for taking the time, and we are going to be very judicious in our use of your time, and this PowerPoint has been constructed with that in mind, and it will tell the tale of why we are here today, and the warden and deputy director are prepared to fly through this PowerPoint.
But no pressure. Mr. Chair, member of the committee, my name is Tracy Belts. I'm the warden here at Shakopee Correctional Facility. And I want to just start by thanking Senator Pratt for presenting this bill. We are asking $5.187 million to build a secure perimeter fence around Shakopee Correctional Facility. As you're aware, Shakopee houses adult female offenders. We are the only female offender in the state prison in the state of Minnesota. We need that fence to meet our goals of protecting public safety, reducing the risk of escape, intrusion, contraband, all the while maintaining a non-intrusive presence in the community. The picture on the slide there shows a concept of what our fence would look like. We believe that this design demonstrates our recognition of past concerns that the community has had about fitting in with the neighborhood. As you can see on this next slide, there's been vast changes in our population from 1986 until present. We had In 86, we had 86 offenders. We are right now hovering right around 630 offenders. In 1986, we had 19 murderers that were housed at the facility. Today, we house 95. And sex offenders, back in 86, there were 9. Today, there are 28. Just a few other facts. Since 1995, we have 7 women that have escaped the correctional facility. We have had another 18 that have planned to escape. We are currently housing 5 offenders out of state for escape or attempted escape, and we currently have 2 women in segregation who are spending time there for planned escape. They don't have enough time to be sent out of state. We really need a fence to maintain our prison security and the orderly operations of what we do there. The next slide shows you our prison in connections with the school that we have, kitty corner from the street, a church with a daycare, and the softball field, some recreational areas. This facility, like we have said, is in the heart of a residential neighborhood. Back in 1919, when we were initially built, we were built just north to the property where we are at now. Back then, it was just farmland that was around us. In 86, when we built where we are currently located, the community had built up around us. You know, we want to be a good neighbor, and to do that, we need the appropriate level of security to address public safety concerns in our state. I don't know of any other women's prison in the nation that houses the custody level offenders that we have that doesn't have a fence. This last slide just shows you a little bit more of the photograph of the school that's kitty corner from us, and shows you right now what is surrounding our prison, which is currently a hedge. You know, we've talked about keeping people in, but it's not just about keeping people in. It's also about keeping people out. Over the past 7 years, we've had 21 documented intrusions, from anywhere from kids coming on grounds on bikes to people that don't know that it's a prison. More alarming, people that do know it's a prison, and when they're approached by our corrections officers, they take off running. We have women that are housed there that have had volatile relationship histories, lots of domestic abuse. Right now, the only thing that separates somebody that wants to do them harm from coming on grounds is that hedge. We need a fence to deter someone from coming on ground and doing harm to any of our staff, any of the offenders, or just interrupting the orderly operations of our facilities. This has been a priority for our agency for quite some time. We've been asking for a fence. We house dangerous women at our correctional facility. Our mission is about public safety, and we need this feature to provide adequate security for our state of Minnesota and its citizens.
Thank you, Ward. Senator Pratt.
Mr. Chair, just a couple of comments. This comes with the support of the city of Shakopee. I hope you have a letter in support. It was last year's. They reaffirmed their support with the same letter that they distributed to us last year. I'd also like to say that as I've been talking about this, I found out that our hedge doesn't even have thorns. So we have an insufficient hedge.
Insufficient. Don't hedge your bets.
You're
asking us for a hedge fund now.
It's
a risky place to be. All right.
I am very impressed with the work that's been done. I would like to make an author's amendment. I just found out that a new estimate had come in to change the amounts in lines 1.7 and in 1.17, change those amounts to 5.187, so 5,187,000. But I am very impressed with the work that the Department of Corrections has done to design a fence that would blend in with the community, that would not deteriorate from property values in the neighborhoods around it, and yet still give them the secure perimeter that they need and allow their guards to do the job of keeping the women safe in the prison, not just keeping them in and intruders out. So I would ask that this a motion be made to include this in a future bonding bill.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions, discussion? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to say I've been out to this prison a few times. The first time as I drove by, I thought it was a small college by the looks of it. And I really appreciate the style of the fence you're putting up. It actually reminds me of St. Catherine's over there, that there's a fence around that, and it does look really good. And I can't believe you don't have a fence around there. Especially, I didn't know there was a daycare, but I could see the school as I looked out the back. So I would certainly be in support of this. Thank you.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, this is very remindful of the Hennepin County Workhouse. For many years, it didn't have a fence around it. Now, that's a medium security facility. And finally, they finally put a fence around it. It's because they were finding contraband up at some of the side waste doors. There'd be a barred gate, and then you'd have a outer gate that'd be more solid or transparent. And in the summertime, you'd open it up because you'd want to get a breeze through. It didn't have air conditioning, that facility. And you'd find contraband just laying on the horizontal bars, sometimes in easy reach of a hallway or a laundry room or something. Well, that contraband could easily be a gun or a knife or any variety of weapon or drug paraphernalia. And I petitioned the county board at Hennepin to do that. And it fell on deaf ears for many, many years. And so if a county can put up a fence around their medium security facility, I think we can put up a fence around a state prison for women. And especially so close in the perimeter of residential community, are the chances that something would expand into the community or into a residential area? Well, I don't know, but you only have to look at the news coverage every once in a while, and it seems to be on a repetitive basis. It's happening more and more. And so I think the time is right for a fence around this facility. Someone's going to get hurt otherwise.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that amendment of Senator Pratt laid out. Would that be all right?
Senator Hall, procedurally, let me... you don't have to actually introduce the bill to get a bonding proposal before the committee. And so the committee is going to adopt some recommendations for bonding, and I'm going to ask the committee to prioritize them. And we'll pass the recommendations on to the finance committee that's going to handle referring it out.
With that change, then?
And that change will be incorporated into this particular proposal. But we're not going to take any formal action on the Senate file itself.
Okay.
Any further questions or discussions on this proposal? Senator Pratt, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee members.
Thank you, Warden. Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner, you're going to present the department's proposal on HEPR and so on.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you. My name is Terry Carlson. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Facilities Division, and I have two additional projects that we'll be presenting on. The first is for asset preservation for our facilities, and we're requesting $10 million and have an identified need of approximately $100 million in asset preservation projects for our 10 correctional facilities. We use asset preservation money to protect the investments that have been made in our state facilities by making the needed repairs to the infrastructure and also to the building envelopes. We address code and regulation compliance with asset preservation money, including OSHA, Department of Health, fire marshal's orders, and those kinds of things. The asset preservation money also goes to building enhancement projects that improve the safety and security for all, the staff, the public, and the offenders. And we also use asset preservation money to replace old systems that are not energy efficient. This gives you just a bit of the scope of our facilities. We have facilities on 11 sites throughout the state. Many of these buildings in the sites are old and in need of ongoing repairs. Red Wing and St. Cloud were built in 1889 and Stillwater in 1914. The Faribault and Moose Lake facilities are converted regional treatment centers that we acquired in the late 80s. These two facilities have been under continual renovation to make buildings safer for our prison settings. So we use this asset preservation money on projects at all facilities throughout the state. Here are just a couple of photos that show some of our very visible asset preservation needs. At the Moose Lake facility, the wall, the building is needing some extensive tech pointing, and the wall at our St. Cloud facility is deteriorating and in need of some critical repairs. So what happens is facilities submit their asset preservation funding needs to us at central office when we get appropriated the money. We use a scoring system that takes into account life safety and security needs and make decisions to get those higher priority projects funded first. And then we also have things that just come up just unexpectedly, you know, things that break, water pipes that are leaking or boilers that just stop working that we need to have money available for funding. So as I mentioned earlier, try to make sure that we distribute money throughout the state for all of these projects. Some of our current projects are well and water system repairs, replacing windows and doors, elevator repairs and code compliance, tech pointing, shower renovations, air handling unit repairs, replacing burners on boilers, and also pneumatic controls. Our third project is our St. Cloud project, and Warden Colin Gao is with us, and I'm going to ask that he present on this project.
Mr. Chair, committee members.
Warden, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you for your time tonight. I know it's gotten late, so I'm going to move quickly through this for you. This project really impacts three major areas in the St. Cloud facility, all of them tied together by one common factor: the amount of offenders that we process through our facility. St. Cloud is the intake facility for the Department of Corrections. All adult males that are committed to the commissioner pass through St. Cloud. We process approximately 400 offenders a month into the facility and correspondingly transfer out a similar number of offenders. Our intake unit is grossly undersized for that process, as is our health services area. The process of doing intake involves accepting into our prison setting offenders that we know very little about. Oftentimes, we will have as many as 30 offenders in a holding cell, which creates a very unsafe, not very secure system, putting staff and offenders in harm's way potentially. We have had several instances of fights breaking out in those areas where we had to send our staff in to deal with those issues. It's not a good situation. So we would propose to build, remodel a intake area that would correspond to the size and numbers of offenders that we process through our facility. Correspondingly, our health services area was constructed at a time when our population was roughly 600 offenders. We now house generally about 1,000 to 1,010 offenders. The health services area, because we are an intake facility, is extremely busy. Every offender has to have a complete physical, complete lab workup, BCA, blood draws. The area is very small. It's very compact, narrow hallways. We have about four exam rooms. We are grossly undersized to accommodate the number of offenders that we have to process through every month, in addition to which our stable population that is waiting to transfer out have medical needs that are also served by this clinic. So we're proposing to build a appropriately sized clinic with appropriate number of exam rooms and areas for interviews. There are issues in our current facility healthcare area where privacy issues are at jeopardy. We have waiting out in the hallway outside of an exam room where the medical practitioner is talking with another offender while another offender is waiting outside. So we need to increase the size of that area to provide the kind of health care that we would like to provide. The third thing that we want to do is improve our security by constructing a new warehouse loading dock area. Currently, when any kind of vehicle comes into our facility, it literally comes completely into the secure perimeter. So we have to spend time searching that vehicle in our truck gate, which is undersized to the point that certain trucks are too long to fit in the gate. So we have to shut down the yard and make arrangements for extra coverage to provide the ability for that longer truck to get in. In addition to which, if there is contraband in that truck and it is not discovered during that initial search, it is now inside the secure perimeter. So by building a new loading dock area and a warehouse area that is sally ported so that the trucks don't actually come into the secure perimeter would, again, increase the security of the facility immensely and also add to just general safety. So that, in a very, very brief, quick synopsis, is what we're proposing with this bonding request.
Thank you, Warden. Are there any questions for the Warden regarding the St. Cloud intake facility? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Deputy Commissioner?
That is our presentation for our bonding needs.
There's at least among the bonding proposals we've been provided with is a request for acquisition of some land at Lino Lakes. Would you care to be heard on that? I don't know that we have anyone to present on that.
Mr. Chair, members, thanks for that question. That is no longer a project on our list for this bonding. Honestly, there was some miscommunication about the availability of some buildings that we were interested in, and they are not available, so it's off our list.
Okay, thank you. Then let me ask you this. As between the two projects identified by the Department of Corrections, asset preservation and the St. Cloud facility, how would you prioritize them? This can be this committee's intention or my intention to ask the committee to prioritize our bonding recommendations for the Senate process to consider.
Mr. Chair, members, we are convinced, as I think you are, that the fence is really needed for the community in Shakopee. Especially concern to us is the grade school across the street. And we have been very cognizant of that location for some time, and certainly since I've been here. And recent tragedies in grade schools have brought our attention even more focused. So that the Shakopee would definitely be the number one priority. Asset preservation and the St. Cloud project are, we would say, are equal. But with the warden sitting next to me, I'm certainly, and I think you have also heard his numbers and the process of 4,000 inmates a year going through that facility. It's really an incredible sight to see the buses arrive, and it is a very high priority for us as well. But as you saw in the slide presentation, we have $100 million worth of projects. So the $10 million in asset preservation is also really just putting Band-Aids on very serious situations. And it's all important, as you have heard many times before.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Any further questions at this time? All right. Thank you. Members of the committee, as I understand the process this year, we're going to be making forwarding bonding recommendations to the full Finance Committee, and the Finance Committee will then, I'm not entirely clear on the process beyond that, will somehow coordinate evaluation with Senator Stumpf, who is chairing the Capital Investment Committee. But for right now, I think our committee, some committees send all the bonding proposals that come before it without giving any prioritization as a recommendation. And my own personal view is that we're supposedly the experts in this areas of policy and finance, and that we should, at least having heard the specific presentations, make some recommendations as how we would prioritize the bonding. Two things. One is, I think, are the sheets in the packets? In your packets, there is an opportunity to rank order the proposals. You'll find it attached to the Judiciary Finance Division agenda. And we can now cross off one of those on the sheet. That was the Lino Lakes entry. I have also given some consideration. I'm going to make my recommendation known to you, and then we'll just can factor it in however you wish, and then ask you to rank the bonding projects in order of 1 through 4. So maybe we can just pass out our recommendations, just pass it down the table. I think it's the easiest thing to do, and make it available. For the members of the audience and the public, I'll tell you, and we'll put the sheet up front too. And my recommendations, I've always been a strong advocate for preserving the assets that we already have. And I think asset preservation usually gets a short shrift in bonding bills because it's so much easier to focus on individual projects, often that have particular constituencies or legislative advocates, the asset preservation money ends up getting shortchanged in favor of individual projects. But I think our first task is to take care of the assets that we already have so they don't fall into such great disrepair that they turn into individual projects building by building. So I'm ranking the asset preservation number one. I think the Shakopee perimeter fence is the number one individual building priority, and I too have taken a tour of the site, and I will only echo what we've already heard in terms of the vulnerability to intrusion as well as to escape. The timing from that standpoint couldn't have been better with the escape from the federal facility in northern Minnesota, just to highlight. And the fact that there are sex offenders and murderers who are in prison at the Shakopee facility without a fence is a little bit unbelievable. So I think that is certainly a high priority as well. The St. Cloud facility has been before the legislature, I know, a number of times, as has the Shakopee fence. Maybe it hasn't been funded yet because of such a large number to bite off in one project. I would rank that third, and it's certainly a system-wide asset that we need to address. I've placed the Northeast Regional Correction Center fourth, and that's primarily because, although it's listed as a regional correction center, it's a joint operation of the local counties. All the counties in our state bear their own correctional facility costs. The fact that these particular counties are joined together to share those costs, I think, is a good thing for them to do, and it's better for the taxpayers, but I don't think it necessarily brings it to a statewide taxpayer obligation, certainly not above the other items that are listed here. And I think we have to draw the line somewhere, and we do give lots of state aid to counties as it is, but in terms of us picking up the tab for what's essentially a county facility that is joint operation of several counties is more of a local project than it is a state or regional facility in that regard. So for what it's worth, that's what my thoughts are, and I'll open up the floor for committee discussion or input. Does your wish to share anything, or just go ahead and fill in your sheets if you wish? I see that's already happening a bit.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lerner.
Mr. Chair, you and I think pretty close to the same on this. Department-wide asset number one, Shakopee perimeter fence number two. I do have a difference of opinion on your ranking on 3 and 4. I would invert that and then allow the St. Cloud project to be phased in. I don't know if it's critical to have it all done in one bonding period, but that way we could accomplish, get these smaller projects out of the way first, and then the St. Cloud, and let them set the priority projects in that $31 million or whatever is left. And that way it would free up a little bit. I know bonding proposals get very competitive, and we could accomplish quite a bit and then allow the St. Cloud project to be, allow them to create a phase-in plan with the remainder. So,
I'm going to ask if the warden from St. Cloud could approach. My recollection is this concept was discussed one time when this proposal was before the committee, and there was some discussion about splitting it into three phases. And my understanding is there had been an analysis done, and the savings of doing it all in one project were so substantial that they chose not to split it up.
But, okay.
The warden will remember more specifically than I will.
Mr. Chair, yes, we have looked at a plan to phase it, not three phases, but two. And we have reviewed the cost, and we would phase that with being the health service area first, and that would be $18 million for that particular phase. For the first phase of the project, it would include the new healthcare area as well as some auxiliary stuff having to do with heating, cooling, and providing some infrastructure. In addition to that, it would also include the cost for design for phase two, which we would include in the phase one $18 million cost.
If you were to phase it all in different stages, what do you estimate the total cost of doing so would be?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, committee, my name is Bill Montgomery. I'm the Capital Resource Administrator for the Department of Corrections.
Could you pull the microphone closer to you, sir?
My name is Bill Montgomery. I'm the Capital Resource Administrator for the Department of Corrections. We have not done a detailed study of the second phase of this project, but we know that it will be at least another $3 million more than the $31 million that we have in here. That's our best guess at this point in time. When we broke it down into the two phases, we did a more detailed look at the first phase and not as much a detailed look at the second phase. So I can't give you an exact number on that, but I could return with that information or get that information to you if it was necessary here in the next few days.
This division will be making its recommendations today, but I don't know when the full Finance Committee will consider it. The information might be helpful, but at least knowing it adds at least 10% to the cost.
It would be about 10%. And what that represents, Mr. Chair, is additional general conditions that you typically have when you do a job at one time. There's general conditions that cover that whole job. When you break that up, it's like the contractor has to come and do the project twice. And so there's additional general conditions that you're paying for to break it into two projects rather than one. That's the main portion of that 10%. Then plus some inflation because you're going to be moving it into the next year.
Mr. Chair.
All right. Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to rank these, and I think they're all very important. My question is, though, is if some of these, and oftentimes they can, some of these projects can be done for less. I wonder how much work you've already done on the plans and the bids on these projects that you have here. Have you gone after bids or had what kind of evaluation process do you go through for the cost?
Mr. Chair and Senator, we go through a pre-design process that is prescribed by the Department of Administration for projects of this size and scope and scale. And that's been prepared for both the Shakopee Fence and for the St. Cloud facility. We have not gone so far as to break the St. Cloud facility down into two phases. That would be an additional report that we'd have prepared that would give us the final cost for that second phase. But we have done the preparatory work as required by the Department of Administration that sets up estimated costs that were prepared by professional estimators in the industry.
Senator Goodwin.
I know, as I've gone through the bonding bills many times in the last many years, that oftentimes amount you ask for can be reduced and still get the work done. So I'm wondering if you, what would be the absolute minimum that you could take to do these projects? I know that the bonds aren't let until you know what the amount is, but at the same time, we've got a target that we have to stay within for our bonding bill. And, you know, like I said, in my opinion, all of these are important, but I would like to know what the absolute minimum was that we could get all of these done for.
Mr. Chair and Senator, when we prepare these reports, we identify the absolute minimum that it takes to do these projects. There's no frosting on any of these cakes, is the way I like to put it in terms of developing these projects. We do a critical evaluation through the pre-design period with the facility and with the consultants that we hire to reduce that cost down to the minimum amount of cost that will actually effectively get the project done. I understand your question, and I know we've addressed this with the Shakopee fence on a number of occasions, as to what would be the absolute minimum cost for a type of fence that would be acceptable. And we've done this analysis on both of these projects to the point where I'd be uncomfortable giving you a lower number than the number that we already have.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Goodman.
Do you actually go out and get estimates on these projects, or what do you do? How do you determine
Mr. Chair and Senator, we hire professional consultants, architects, and engineers that come in, and they hire professional estimators that work with the people, the general contractors they often rely on, to develop the costs that are, and it's actually a nationwide type of system that they use, and then they adjust it for different regions. But that's the systems that are used. The professional estimators do this work, and it's in conjunction with people that are in the industry. We cannot go out and get an actual estimated cost from a contractor because that will disqualify him from bidding on the project at another time. So we're put in kind of a difficult position. So we do our best to get the best estimating that we can.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All right, members, I'll just ask you to go ahead and fill out your rankings, and they'll be collected by staff, and we'll compile them, and that will be the recommendation of the committee to forward to the Finance Committee. Once they're collected, we'll have concluded the Finance Division hearing, and we'll go back to the other matters.
Mr. Chair, can I deliver one to Senator Hall so he can make the recommendations and provide them to Cheryl?
Absolutely. Maybe we'll have staff
great.
Give it to Senator Hall.
Yeah.
is snowing.
Are members done filling out the forms? Are you still working on it?
We're done.
We're done.
Are they all collected?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Senator Hall is the only one we don't have? Oh, and Senator Limmer, okay. Oh, we'll. You know, Senator Limmer's?
Yes.
Okay. And let's.
Fill out the other sheet. That's good.
I did something.
So we have, except for Senator Hall, we have all of the forms. Staff will get it from Senator Hall as well. So there being no further business to come before the Finance Division, we will adjourn as the Finance Division. I'm going to take a minute or two to change the tapes back to our Policy Committee, and then we'll reconvene.